We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO. Weather looks really nice out there. It is 29 degrees Celsius. The Nathan Brewer dew point is 58 degrees. Oh, wait, it's 84 degrees Fahrenheit out there for you guys that don't know your Celsius. But anyway, the wind is out of the south, 12 miles an hour, and it looks like we have a slight chance of rain this afternoon and a 40% chance tonight, because I got a bet going on with a gentleman. Mr. Phil Beck lives here in Elk City for a dollar that it rains tonight, and he says it's not going to. So anyway, we'll get over that. Remember, tomorrow, 7:30 at the Marvin Clemmy Range Research Station are having a field day tomorrow. OSU Ag Research and OSU Extension will be out there in full force, 7:30 in the morning for registration. All kinds of things going on out there. Just go out there. It's easy to find. It's out there around Bessie and to the west of Bessie, between there and the back. It's on the back road going to Foss. How's that? But anyway, if you got any questions, need directions to go out there, give me a shout. I'll give you text me on the KECO Ag text line at 580-225-9697. And also, you guys be thinking about this. In my next segment, I'm going to have Jason Bollinger. He is running for U.S. Senate. He announced his campaign today, and he's going to be in the studio. I invited him to come in and talk agriculture. Hopefully not a lot of politics, but agriculture. He'll be in here in about 10 minutes. If you got any questions that you would like to ask him about anything to do with what he's doing in the U.S. Senate, he opened his campaign up today. He announced his running today. And so if you got any questions you'd like to ask him, ag-related only, just start texting him in. When he gets in here, I'll ask him, and we got time. If we got time, we should have time. So anyway, remember tomorrow at the Clemmy Range Research Station, OSU Research Station out there, that's tomorrow. Also, Thursday night is the Quail Forever Banquet at the Elks Lodge here in Elk City at 6 o'clock. It's going to be a great time. I think I counted last night, there's 11 or 12 guns up for a raffle and a chance of winning one. It's going to be a great time. You can go on North Fork Quail Forever Facebook page, and there's a link on there on the events you can buy tickets on, or you can go to quailforever.org, find the event tab, tab on the events, put in North Fork in there, and it is our 7th annual banquet. And yesterday, did a little research, and since the chapter started 7 years ago, we've raised $358,000 for quail habitat, youth, the whole nine yards. So for all you people that have donated or helped out with any of our quail events or the whole nine, anything, we dearly appreciate it. That's a lot of money, and it's been spent well. None of it's been wasted. We help Wildlife Department out. We help private landowners out. We have two full-time biologists in the state for pheasants and quail forever. And the shooting teams, we've bought pallets of habitat seed, whether it be grass mixed with pollinators or just some sorghum, some like brown millet or something to plant out there. Landowners, if you're a member of the Quail Forever and a landowner, you got free seed and to plant food plots. So it's not been one penny wasted, and every penny we've raised, except for the memberships that go to the big office, stays right here in the local area and is very well spent. So anyway, that's thanks again for that. And again, Thursday night, 6 a.m. or 6 p.m., you do need to buy your tickets online. And they're getting close to being sold out. So if you go online and you can't buy any tickets on there, it's sold out because it shuts off at a certain number that I've installed in there. So, but if you can buy them, you're still coming. So anyway, there's going to be a lot of good people there. Yesterday I was talking about, there towards the end of the show, I was talking about cattle and sustainability, and they had that deal up there in Colorado. The certified Angus beef had a deal at Colorado State there at Fort Collins, and I want to finish that, the part two. And yesterday was sustainability. Today I'm talking about changing carcass trends. Clint with the Certified Angus Board, Director of the Product Services, and Daniel Clark, he's also a CAB meat scientist, shared data from nearly 8 million Angus-type fed cattle to see how increasing hot carcass weights affect CAB acceptance. We see HCW at 40 to 50-pound swings to a 70-pound or greater swings between these seasonal lows to seasonal highs. He said, noting 20 pounds is a big adjustment within 12 months. Black-hided cattle must meet 10 carcass specifications to qualify for the brand. The data revealed a positive trend between HCW and marbling, but also with ribeye size and back fat, the four CAB specifications must miss. When average fed cattle HCW gets above 900 pounds, we're going to start kicking out more and more cattle, Clark explained. Below 850 pounds, then the cattle probably aren't reaching their genetic potential. The pandemic created a backlog of fed cattle where feed yards saw what was happening with cattle with more days on feed and consequently higher HCW. The use of feeding technology such as has abruptly stopped for cattle with no guaranteed slaughter date. That came with the unintended consequences of helping researchers answer questions cattle feeders otherwise may never have tested. Just feeding cattle longer can have the same responses as feeding beta echinoceses for lean gain the last month of the feeding period. Brad Johnson, meat scientist at Texas Tech University, shared surveys resulting from this usage that is not back to pre-pandemic levels and is not expected to return. In a future market with stricter requests, he warned not to give up on technology yet. I'm not just talking about implants. All technology data management and maybe some natural feed additives that can improve marbling and reduce GHG emissions. The future will be about finding good relationships, sound science, and sharing a story that resonates, says Keith Belk, CSU head of Animal Science Department. You can't do a good job for addressing industry issues with research or educating the next generation of students unless you have good partners to work with. And that's a pretty good saying right there. But they're in our last segment. I'm going to go to the cow-calf corner and talk exactly about that, how the feedlot situation is improving. Well, I'm going to take a break. When I come back, he's in the house. Jason's in the house. And like I said, if you guys got any questions and you want to ask him, I don't take live call-ins because of the line of friends I have, but you're more than welcome to text in to the KCO Ag text line. 225-9697. If you got any questions for him, don't be bashful out there. Oh, I got a quick funny story for you. Yesterday I went into Atwoods for my weekly stop at Atwoods. This big old tall cowboy walks up to me, and I didn't even catch his name. I probably know him. I'm pretty bad about names. But he's still like 6'8" without the cowboy hat on. He walks up to me and he says, "Hey, you Jimmy Clark, today an ag guy? I said, yeah. He said, have you had any microorganisms in the last week? And I wanted to hit the dude, but he's a pretty big old boy. But, you know, it's kind of funny. At least I know he was listening to the show. So, anyway, I'm probably not going to live down last Tuesday on this show because I know my bosses haven't. So, anyway, we'll be right back. You're listening to Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
Great news, folks. Ron Hayes here to let you know SEI Agritech in Elk City is now your livestock nutrition center dealer. This is better quality feed and minerals for your cattle, horses, sheep, and goats. Plus, at SEI Agritech, you can buy everything from bulk to 50-pound bags. Call or go see SEI Agritech today about your feed and mineral needs. Their number, 580-225-0317. 580-225-0317. Better feed, better results.
We had commercial cattle, and as a commercial producer, you're always looking for a place to buy bulls that are going to work well for your program. And as we struggled to do that, we decided to raise our own. And so we started producing the traits that we were looking for to buy in bulls. Lori White, B&L Red Angus, blredangus.com. You can find us on Facebook by searching B&L Red Angus.
Benji White, B&L Red Angus. BLRedAngus.com on Facebook. Follow us at B&L Red Angus.
We learned in grade school 1 plus 1 equals 2 and 2 plus 2 equals 4. So what does quality feed equal? Results you can be proud of. It's simple math with a little common sense. Barnes Feed Service in Hobart, Oklahoma has done the math and mixed years of common sense into their feeds so you'll get the results you deserve. And remember, their name ends with service, something they take pride in every day. See their ads in the Penny News and check them out on Facebook. Mosey on down to Hobart Stockyard's weekly cattle sale at Highway 183 North in Hobart, Oklahoma. The sale is every Wednesday at 9:30. If you need to consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. They receive cattle all day Mondays and Tuesdays. Buyers can bid in person or online. Register at LMAauction.com or download the LMA Ringside app. Hobart Stockyards, where we want your business and we do appreciate it.
He loves to talk about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
Okay, I'm back. Welcome back to the show. It's Tuesday. It's Hay Day Tuesday. If we got time towards the end of the show, I've got last week's hay reports from all over the United States. I love giving out numbers. I hope you guys don't get bored with them, but it's important to see what's happening all across the continent. Well, I have Mr. Jason Bollinger in here, and who's your partner in crime?
This is Michelle Tilley. She's helped me on the campaign.
She your campaign manager? Is that the
she? Yeah.
Yeah, I like campaign managers. So anyway, Jason is running for U.S. Senate, and that's James Langford. He's current. Mm-hmm. And so how was it? How's it been so far? Because you just started today, really, right?
I did. Announced officially on the station here this morning, and it's been an exciting day. We had a good turnout in Carter for breakfast.
Yeah.
And
I got invited. I was there.
Yeah. It was good.
It was.
Good to see you. And we're back here with you now. Happy to discuss ag.
Oh, yeah. That's what we were just – he made it really brief and quick this morning, just thanked everybody, which that's what you need to do. Mm-hmm. And it was the Carter Cafe was packed full.
It was.
And it was a good turnout. Jason, you're originally from Carter, right?
I am. I was born and raised in Carter and went all 13 years of school at Merritt.
Okay. And then you went to, where'd you go to college?
So I got my associates at SWASU at Sayre, and then my undergrad degree in accounting from OU, and then my law degree from OU. Spent.
Boomer Sooner. Yeah,
exactly.
I got a lot of OSU people on here, so I had to say that.
After that, I spent a year working at the State Department in Washington, D.C.
Tell us about that. Because you told me this morning you were there during the changeover between two administrations.
Well, I was there. I was during the Trump administration. I was there for both Secretaries of State, Secretary Tillerson, and then the transition to Pompeo.
How crazy is Washington?
Washington is crazy and Washington is broken, unfortunately.
Yeah, it is. And that's why you're here.
That's why I'm here. While I was working there and observing how broken the system is and how wasteful the system is, when I'm looking at what could we do to improve it, one of the things that I think about or thought about at the time is these values and the way of life that I learned here in Western Oklahoma, and that is, you know, no matter what, doing what's best for your community and for your neighbor, regardless of political party, doing what's most efficient, making government work the way it's supposed to, as best as possible, for the benefit of people. And I certainly learned those values and those skills here in Western Oklahoma.
Yeah, because in Carter, you have Republicans and Democrats alike, and you had them both in the restaurant this morning.
We had both there this morning. It was a great turnout.
Yeah, and it was.
It was great to talk to people from both parties. And, you know, I've grown up around both Republicans and Democrats. Worked in Washington, D.C. with a lot of Democrats, but was in the Trump administration. And I just think it's not impossible to work together, and I'm excited for the opportunity to do so for the benefit of Oklahomans without all of this partisan game playing that is just completely wasteful.
You got my vote, just what you said, because I'm almost 60 years old. I'm 59, but I never thought I'd dream or even dream that I'd see what's going on in mm-hmm. the last 6 to 8, 10 years. I mean, it's been happening for probably 20, yeah. but just, you know, with more media, more mm-hmm. social media, and with everything going on, and it's hard to believe whatever you read anymore.
The truth is relative anymore, and that's tough. It's hard to know what to trust. And, you know, that was something I observed when I was there, seeing it happen in person, and then I would see it reported later and something completely different. And that's not the way this system is supposed to work.
Your campaign manager, she's going to a lot of trouble over there. Hey, I forgot to tell you guys, this is being recorded on live on Facebook.
Hey.
see them red lights? So anyway, I'm sorry I didn't mention that.
The contract. So good. I just wanted to make sure I captured.
She's a sweetheart. I just met her this morning, and I like her. I mean, oh, you can tell person right off the bat. Well, I remember talking to your mother a few years back, and she was telling me about. She's bragging on you, and she was talking about. You working up there at the State Department, and you know, you was talking about the system's broken and a lot of wasteful spending. I remember one of the stories she was telling me was about how hard it was for you to get, because you was up there as a legal advisor, right? And
yes.
Talking about how hard it was to get anybody to write or print anything up for you, and they had certain hours. If you didn't get it in by the end, you had to wait. You know, it was a crazy story.
It's the State Department's the largest executive agency, and so in order to run, it has to be really bureaucratic, but it's also extremely inefficient. And
right.
you know, anyone who's dealt with government knows how inefficient particularly the federal government is, and the State Department was a great example of that.
Right. Well, you what's one of the things, if you were to get elected, mm-hmm. what's one of the things you're going to work on really hard for Western Oklahoma?
Well, both for Western Oklahoma and Oklahoma as a whole, I hate to see the continued waste of our taxpayer dollars. You know, people out here work hard for their money, and Oklahoma sends a huge chunk of money every year to help fund the federal government, and I don't think we're getting a good return on our investment.
Right. For example?
Improved infrastructure. We recently had the infrastructure bill that passed, and Oklahoma will get some assistance there, but it's not nearly enough for what we need. But instead, we're sending a huge amount to help fund other states where I think our elected officials should be working to bring that money back to Oklahoma, whether it's through jobs, infrastructure, anything else.
Yeah, I know. My numbers might be a little bit off here, but you'll get the point from what I'm saying. When that infrastructure bill passed, I noticed Oklahoma was getting somewhere around $300 million or $30 million. Mm-hmm. What was it? Does anybody remember?
I don't know the exact number, but I think 300 is closer.
It was nothing compared to some of those other states, what they were getting.
No, and if you look at what those other states contribute versus Oklahoma on a per capita basis, we're way higher.
Yeah.
And so I think that should be a focus of our elected officials, to do what's best for Oklahomans rather than whatever their corporate donors, who may or may not be in Oklahoma, want them to do.
Well, that's because I was looking at that, and I don't get into politics deep and heavy because it just makes me mad, and because what's going on right now.
Right.
I mean, there's used when I was a kid back in the '60s and the '70s, there was a lot of bickering going on, but at the end they'd all come together and they would agree on it. And yeah, it was always bipartisan, unless they was trying to get Richard Nixon out of office or Jimmy Carter screwed up over there in Iran, you know, stuff like that. That's going to happen. That's normal politics. The president can't be right every time. But just the way most Congress people, whether in the Senate or in the House, the way they've been acting. You know, they were acting up a little bit before President Trump.
Mm-hmm.
Well, President Trump, if he'd just stayed off Twitter, it would have probably helped some matters. But he, you know, when you have a very mature Nancy Pelosi in there that has been there for a long time, and she tears stuff up on national TV like a little kid, and it just makes you mad against all of them.
I agree. I think, you know, both parties have their problem, their troublemakers, and I think they both spend so much time focusing on that and what sells in the media rather than focusing on what their actual jobs are.
Right.
And that's what I'm trying to get back to is, you know, the system is built on compromise and efficiency. We need to do whatever works best for the highest number of people, and not both sides are not all going to get everything they want. That's just the way the system works,
right.
And we need to get back to a system of compromise.
Right, and you probably made you some contacts while you was up there, didn't you?
I did.
And are you going to have anybody from Washington come out to back you on one of your campaign trails?
Well, we don't have any.
Sorry, I'm digging.
No, you're fine. We don't have plans for that yet, but you never know. You never know who may show up.
18 months away, right?
18 months. The primary will be June 28th, and the general election is November 8th.
Right. And I feel like there's some changes coming this next election.
It's certainly needed.
Yeah, I feel like it's coming. So, well, to agriculture. Hang on a second. Let me check my clock. Hey, we're going to take a short break if you got time.
Absolutely.
And I need to get our bills paid here. So when we come back, Jason and I are going to talk about the upcoming new ag bill that'll come up. And so anyway, we're going to talk about that and other stuff. So hang tight. It's Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
This is the Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction Market Report for Monday, September 27th. 1,513 head were sold. 15 head of steers at 436 brought 165. 10 at 703 brought 153.50. 67 at 743 brought 154.50. 38 at 839 brought 151. 24 at 861 brought 147.50. 3 head of heifers at 218 brought 350. 24 at 468 brought 157. 3 at 607 brought 135. 14 at 725 brought 137.50. 32 at 856 brought 140. Butcher cows were 19 to 70, 50. Bred cows, 610 to 1325. Butcher bulls brought 78 to 95. Pairs were 885 to 1150. Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction, I-40 exit 71 in Clinton, Oklahoma. Sale every Monday at 10 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095.
Is your cattle mineral investment being washed away? Weather can cause conventional mineral to absorb water and blow away. Simply put, your cows probably aren't eating it. That's why Purina created Wind and Rain Storm Mineral, a weatherized mineral that can stand up to the elements. Its larger particle size makes it harder to blow away and easier for water to pass through it. Keep money in your pocket. Contact Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City today.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
Now, back to more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
The red lights are on, and I was giving this young, beautiful lady a hard time. I'm going to call her the road manager. Anyway, she's from Comanche, but she was actually born in southern Louisiana, right?
That's right. My dad was offshore working oil rigs with his brothers when I was born. So yeah. I learned to speak there, but I was raised in southwest Oklahoma.
But her dad's originally from Oklahoma, so she's got Okie blood in her.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
She just got a little of that French in her from southern Louisiana. Anyway, we're having a good time in here, but they... the new ag bill, there'll be a new ag bill in what, next year?
2023.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's right. What's your plans? What you thinking?
Well, I think this is a great opportunity. Right now in the Senate, Oklahoma doesn't have representation on the ag committee. Luckily, we've got someone great in Frank Lucas on the House side, but we don't have representation in the Senate. So that's something I would certainly like to tackle and to be able to represent Oklahoma and Oklahoma's needs on that committee. I grew up here. I certainly understand the importance of farming and ranching. And while this is a nationwide issue, we have the best in the country here in Oklahoma.
Yeah, we're very versatile in farming and ranching here in Oklahoma, period.
Mm-hmm.
But out here where I 100% know what's going on, you know, you got a lot of ag industry out here besides just farming and ranching, because you got to have support. And Amarillo's not very far, and they're big into ag, and they're we have peanuts, which you know this.
Yep.
You grew up, Carter.
Yep.
We got peanuts, we got wheat, we got rye. We got Truticow, we got alfalfa, we got corn, we got milo, all kinds of hay crops, you know, grass and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But we got a lot of cotton.
Yep.
Can't forget cotton, you know, because Altus is one of the big cotton gurus of the United States. You
mm-hmm.
know, the Texas is number one in cotton production, if you didn't know
that. I
did. Yeah. All right, good. And we're in top 10, mm-hmm. and Georgia's right there at number 2, and I don't remember who number 3 is, and I just read this report last week. Somebody text me, who is number 3? And you'll win a Starburst, and I'll personally deliver it. So anyway, but we have a lot of cattle in western Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm.
I was really caught off guard yesterday by the USDA report, the Texas and Oklahoma cattle auction summaries that mm-hmm. the USDA tracks every week. I was caught off guard yesterday by the number of cattle sold in Oklahoma last week
mm-hmm.
and a year ago last week. There was in 27,000 head sold last week in Oklahoma. There was 3,700 head sold in Texas.
Wow.
And so Oklahoma and Nebraska and Kansas and the Dakotas, we're the big cattle people. I mean, that's big cattle. I got, we're on it. Mississippi is
all
number
right.
3. Thank you, Melissa. Her name come up on the deal. So I know her, Melissa Frederick. I can just see that right now. Anyway, so Mississippi's number 3. That's close to where you were born at. Louisiana. So, and you know, with the Democratic, the Democrats in charge of the House,
mm-hmm.
you know, Frank Lucas kind of got pushed off to the side on the ag part, and he was so important.
He
always had our back. I mm-hmm. thought he had our back. Not everybody might agree with us. And now he's on the science, the rocket science deal.
Right.
Which I'm sure he's enjoying the break from the ag deal. Mm-hmm. But him and his wife, you know, ranch right up here north of us. They got a big
Definitely.
Cattle deal. But, yeah, we need some representation because we're a big ag state.
Absolutely. And you know, Frank's one of the – I would view consider him an expert. And I think it is important to have his voice on the committee. And like I said, at the point at which this bill is reconciled between the House and the Senate, I think it's really important for Oklahoma's voice and needs to be represented on the Senate side, too.
what would be your plans if with the bill, if you got elected and the new ag bill's coming up? Who are you going to use to help you decipher what needs to be done to help all farming and rancher, not just Oklahoma, but mainly Oklahoma?
Sure. Well, I'm going to come back to these people I've known my whole life here in Western Oklahoma who do this every day.
Rusty Breeze?
Absolutely.
He was there this morning.
Yep. Grew up just about a mile from Rusty's house. But truly, though, to find out what's important to them and what they need and what's affecting them every day. And I hope to do the same all around the state. But these people who I've known my whole life, they're experts in this industry. And so I think it will be important to rely upon them. And then also working with Representative Lucas, he's a Republican, obviously, but I view him as an expert and would rely on his guidance.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because I think I heard through the grapevine that some guys that went up there on a trip with some younger farmers and ranchers went up there here a while back, and it was kind of funny. You know, they went and seen both of our U.S. senators, mm-hmm. but they pertained that ag stuff to Frank.
Yep.
And so, yeah. So, I mean, not everybody's up and up on everything. I mean, just I'm lucky. I kind of know the oil field. I know the farming and the ranching part. And I know how to golf, too. But I'm not very good at it. But I did take some money from some local farmers last night. I took $4.
Nice.
On 9 holes. So, anyway, my neighbor, Ken Howell, and Gary Phillips, and Danny from the county. See, I stay in good with all those guys on the with works at the county, mm-hmm. because I have these big projects with Coil Forever, and so they're a big help on it, even though some people complain. There's always one guy in the crowd, but they're but that'd be good, because you know, you have some people out here. I'm just going to mention a few names. I know there's a bunch, but we have a couple guys from Altus that are on the National Cotton Board. Mm-hmm. And we got Jimmy Taylor, Taylor Ranch up north. He's on the What's for Beef, What's for Dinner board, as I call it. And we have Jimmy Music that was in the restaurant
this morning.
He was there this morning. He's on the wheat board. No telling what else he's on. Mm-hmm. But anyway, so there's some very well knowledgeable people around here to help you out, because I really hope you win.
Well, I very much appreciate it, and I hope to do whatever I can to assist the people of Western Oklahoma and Oklahoma as a whole.
Because every time somebody from this area is elected, whether it's at the local level, county level, or state level, federal level, it always helps us. I think it does. You know, I was gone for a while when I moved to Kansas City after I got back from Desert Storm. But I always paid attention to what was going on down here. And then when I come back, I paid more attention to it. But you know, Frank Lucas, you don't have to agree with everything he's done. And nobody ever will.
No.
If we had that many perfect people in this world, it'd be easy to get by.
It certainly would.
But since social media and cell phones, the world has changed. patience has run out.
Absolutely.
I honestly believe that. I learned that in the oil field, that, you know, used to I was a contractor and self-employed, independent, and when you miss a call, somebody calling for a job, usually they'll wait for you to call back, but you call back 30 minutes and, oh, we already found somebody.
Yeah.
What the heck? There's no loyalty.
No.
And there's no loyalty in Washington.
No, not at all. And, you know, one thing I can say is I will be loyal to the people of Oklahoma if elected.
Good, because that's what we want. Mm-hmm. And we, Frank Lucas, he's loyal.
He is.
I see him at the vet every now and then. And I don't talk politics with him. This guy's on his way home, or he's home, and I'm sure he gets hounded enough. Yeah. I could just imagine some of the emails and phone calls that office gets. And you're getting ready to find out, too, if you're elected.
Yep, I'm ready for it.
Well, what else would you like to tell everybody out there about getting elected?
Well, we're just getting this started, but you can visit Jason for Oklahoma. That's Jason, F-O-R, Oklahoma.com. And also, we're on all of the social media channels, so reach out. Would love to have anyone and everyone join us.
Yeah. And, hey, for all you OSU fans out there, don't hold it against him because he went to OU. because we want to talk national championships at Stillwater at Norman. Anyway, I have lots of people from OSU, from their ag research, come on here. I don't hate OSU.
No.
I don't. Only during football season and maybe golfing season. But anyway, it's all fun. That's why they call it Bedlam.
Yep.
Exactly. And thank you guys so much for coming in.
Well, thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be here, and I hope you'll have me back soon.
Oh, yeah. You're welcome back here anytime. And when you get elected, don't forget me, because I know people.
I promise.
And thank you for coming in.
Thank you. I've enjoyed it.
All right. Well, have a great day.
You Bye. Too.
All right. Well, when I come back, we're going to do some weather updates and other the Long Ranger. Oh, by the way, Lacey Swope, your guy's probably been, I've been holding off giving you excuse for her so you keep listening. But Lacey texted me this morning. She just got back from vacation from Colorado last week, and she's got the stomach bug, and she's sick. So everybody pray that she has a quick recovery, because we miss her, because she's she's Oklahoma's finest. She's a favorite weather person. So anyway, we'll be right back after this. It's Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
Every trust is a little bit different. Some of them, those assets may need to grow because they've got to take care of somebody for a lot of years. Sometimes those assets need to maintain, or they need to just support a certain lifestyle. There's lots of different objectives for trusts, and what we do is we determine what the objective is for each trust, and then we do our very best to manage the assets in that trust to achieve that objective. I'm Nan Shiblum, and I help make the difference at First National Bank and Trust in Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
From sunup till sundown, we know your irrigation equipment needs to be as hardworking as you, because we all know a farmer's job is never done. Valley is your strength in the field. We're the Everyman brand. No matter your operational setup, we have the irrigation equipment and technology to move you forward. Valley products are built to last, easy to operate, and ahead of the curve. Durable, reliable, and built tough. This is Valley.
Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325, or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
It's so convenient for farmers and ranchers to get what you need in one place. The Wheeler General Store is the do-it-best hardware store that carries vet supplies to doctor your animals, high-pro feed, also master hand milling and smart lick tubs. Delivery is available if you need it. And at Wheeler Ag, right there on site, they've got dry fertilizer application with blending capabilities. Wheeler General Store and Wheeler Ag on Highway 152, a mile east of the four-way stop in Wheeler, Texas.
You can also find the Wheeler General Store on Facebook and Instagram.
This hour's weather is brought to you by Hobart Farm and Garden.
Complete nutrition for every animal. That's what you'll find at High Pro Feeds. At High Pro, their commitment to nutrition is unwavering. Buy the best and get the most out of every animal. Hobart Farm and Garden in Hobart, Oklahoma is your local High Pro Feeds dealer, providing quality feeds in bulk, bags, and sacks. Check them out on Facebook and online at HobartFarmAndGarden.com.
Today in Ag is back with Jimmy Clark.
Welcome back. It's Tuesday in a big town. Hope everybody enjoyed Jason in here. I didn't want to do politics on the show, but when we have a young man as bright as he is running for office that's from our local area, I want to talk to him. That's all I do. I want to talk to him. But anyway, we got for the Hobart Farm and Garden weather forecast Long Ranger. It looks wet. I even went as far to look way into next week, and it looks like it's going to be wet for the next 10 days, which is good. We need it. We're in a mini drought right now. Today, 20%, we're up to 20% chance of rain today. It was 10% a while ago, so something's brewing out there. A high today will be 93. Tonight, 40% chance of rain. Tomorrow, mostly sunny. Then a slight chance of thunderstorms in the afternoon, 20%. Tomorrow night, 30%. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, 50 to 70% chance of rain every day. Highs in the 80s on Thursday, low 80s on Thursday. High Friday, 73. And high Saturday, 77. in the Long Ranger, I was looking up, temperatures are going to be in the high 70s all next week. So this today might be it. Today might be the last big day in the big 90 plus temperature. So anyway, so this rain looks good for you guys. Got your wheat in. Looks good for the guys. Got, I see some wheat up. Not a lot of wheat or rye or crude cow, whatever's up. So it'll all be good. So anyway, we got, so anyway, last week's hay prices, looks like the hay prices are creeping up a little bit, and I think I had a red report about a month ago that said that they would be creeping up because the closer to fall we get, and then guys realize they didn't make enough hay for the summer, and most of the high prices look like they're in the major drought areas up north and out west. But I'm going to run across some of this alfalfa prices for you. In California, premium alfalfa is $2.40 to $3.30 delivered. Good alfalfa is $2.05 to $3.05. Kansas, $180 to $400, that $400 being delivered. And then on good alfalfa right there in the middle is $135 to $200. New Mexico is $200 to $320 a ton. Good is $165 to $180. Pennsylvania has skyrocketed for some reason since the last report I read a couple weeks ago. They're $300 to $360 on premium alfalfa, $160 to $250 on good alfalfa. Texas is $230 delivered to $315. On good alfalfa is $220 to $235 delivered. Oklahoma is running right at the $180 to $200 per ton on alfalfa. Now, these are reported prices into the USDA. I know some of you guys are out there are getting a little more. Some of you getting a little less. So, anyway, I'm just reporting what the USDA's got here. Grass hay prices went considerably up from what I'm reading here. I know I got a resource out there south of Sayre, Delhi. If he's not eating lunch, he's listening. He's going to correct me if I'm wrong. But California premium grass hay is $200 to $290. Good is $190 to $220. In Kansas, grass hay is $125 to $140. Good is $60 to $150. Where to score? Nebraska, $145 to $200 on good premium, and good is $125 to $145. My word, Pennsylvania grass hay is almost as expensive as their alfalfa. $270 to $460. There's not a D by it, so I'm assuming it's not delivered. And then on good hay prices, there, good hay is $100 to $280. Texas is $160 to $330 on premium grass hay, $130 to $275 on the good hay. No reports of grass hay sales out of Oklahoma, but in Wyoming, $300 a ton for good grass hay. So that's your Hay Day Tuesday updates, and I have a report of we got. Let me get that picture up. Anyway, I got my report from Brandon Hickey from the Elk City and the Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction. Elk City, last Friday, they was 1,915 head there. They had, on the steer side, they was 15 out of Weatherford. Weight was 396, brought $1.85. Out of Mobeety, Texas, 14 head. Average weight 494, brought $1.6850. And then we had Cheyenne, 19 head of steers come out of there. Average weight of 533, brought $1.58. And let's check another now. Here's some Mobeety steers out of Mobeety, Texas, $641, $1.41 a pound. McLean, Texas, $640 on the average, $1.3850. And then we had from Foss, 13 head weighing 817, brought $1.25. Heifers, we had 11 head out of Sayre, weighing 482, brought $1.38. Sweetwater, 12 head of heifers, weighing 600, brought $1.2850. And then we got some butcher cows up to $77 per hundredweight, butcher bulls up to $90 per hundredweight. Some bred cows brought a little over $1,100 a head, and pairs were bringing up to $13. And then out of the Western Oklahoma livestock auction yesterday, hang on here with me a second. Oh, I got a new message. And we got Western Oklahoma. We had 1,513 head yesterday. Steers out of Hammond, they was 15 head. Average weight, 436, brought $1.65. We had some out of Arapahoe, big bunch, 79. Average 706 on the weight, brought 160 per hundred weight. And then corn, 67 head, 743 average, brought $1.54.50. And then we got hydro, 24 head, 861, brought $1.47.50. Heifers, we had 24 out of Sayre, 468 pound average, brought $1.57. Some more out of Sayre, 523 on the average weight, brought $1.39. And out of Elk City, we had 46 head over there, 728 average weight, $1.42. Butcher cows were bringing up $70.50 per hundred weight. Butcher bulls, $95 per hundred weight. Had some bred cows bringing up to $13.25, and had some pairs running around $11.50 to $1,200. So thank you, Mr. Brandon Hickey, for the updates you sent me last night. Don't forget, tomorrow, Wednesday, is Hobart Stockyards. You got any buying or selling you need to do, call Rex Fleming down there at Kiowa County, down there at the big sale barn on the highway there on the northeast corner of Hobart. And then this Friday, there'll be Elk City Livestock Auction will be going on. And Monday will be the Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction. So if you guys got any buying or selling needs for Elk City or the one over there east of Clinton along I-40, call Mr. Brandon Hickey and he will hook you up. Well, I don't know if any of you guys have heard about California's Proposition 12. It's about animal welfare law. It's a welfare law that was passed in 2018 and it's going into effect the January 1st. Two farm groups have asked the Supreme Court to invalidate the voter-approved standards as an unconstitutional burden on farmers and consumers everywhere. Proposition 12 bans the sale of pork products that are produced outside the state but do not match California rules. Voter approved Proposition 12 by a 3-2 margin in 2018. It has been repeatedly challenged in court, usually as a violation of the Commerce Clause of the Constitution, but it has withstood the attacks. The Supreme Court refused on June 28th to hear a meat industry challenge. The National Pork Producers Council and the American Farm Bureau Federation, unsuccessfully at the district and the appellate court levels, turned to the Supreme Court on Monday with the Commerce Clause argument that Proposition 12 puts an undue burden on producers and consumers outside the state. Man, leave it to California. This is the craziest law I've ever heard. The massive costs of complying with Proposition 12 fall almost exclusively on out-of-state farmers. They said in a petition for Supreme Court review, all hog producers will be forced to remodel their barns or build new ones to meet California's rules. They argue because it's impractical in the complex multi-state pork production process to trace a single cut of pork back to a particular sow housed in a particular manner. As a result, costs will be passed on to the consumer everywhere and countless transactions having nothing to do with California. Estimates of Proposition 12's impact on consumers vary widely. At the low end of the spectrum, the California Department of Food and Agriculture says it will be $10 per person annually. Proposition 12 requires hog farmers to provide 24 square feet of space for each of their sows to move about, except for a few days before they give birth and for 3 weeks afterwards until their piglets are weaned. Almost all the pork sold in California is raised outside of California. So this is awesome, man. This just shows you what kind of crazy world we're living in. At a public hearing last month, meatpackers asked for a 28-month moratorium on the enforcement of Proposition 12 for reasons that included the complexity of the pork supply chain and the segregation and other costs Proposition 12 will impose on producers and processors. So I wonder, how is California going to hire people to come out to Oklahoma and Texas, Kansas, wherever these hog farms are, and make sure this is happening? I mean, it just doesn't make sense. But like I said, leave it up to California to screw stuff up. But it's just I guess they won't be having any bacon or sausage with their eggs anymore. Anyway, I got one more to read of it. It's coming from Mr. Darryl Peel from the Oklahoma State University, and it was the one I told you earlier about the feedlot deal. The September USDA NASS cattle on feed report pegged September 1st feedlot inventories at 11.234 million head, 98.6% of what was there last year. August marketings were 1.885 head, 99.6% of one year ago. And August placements were 2.1 million head. That's 102% of 1 year earlier. August placements and marketing were both slightly higher than the average report estimates, but within the range of an analyst forecast. The August placements were the largest placement total of the month since 2011. Amongst major cattle feedings were states, placements were the largest in Nebraska, up 11% year over year, and Colorado up 17% from last year. Meanwhile, August placements in cattle were down 2% from year over year, and Texas placements were 90% of 1 year ago. The weight distribution of August placements shows the unexpected increase in placements were almost entirely in heavyweight placement. That's a lot of placements in one sentence, one paragraph anyway. Here we go again. Placements of feeders under 600 pounds were unchanged from a year ago, but placements from 600 to 700 were down 7.5% from last year. Placements weighing 700 to 800 pounds were up 2.1%, and placements from 800 to 900 were up 2.3%. Most dramatically, placements weighing over 900 pounds were up 15.4% from year over year. Placements over 900 pounds was up 21%, and Nebraska accounting for 60% of the total year over year increase for the heaviest weight groups. The question for several months has been feedlots would turn the corner on the large feed cattle supplies. So it looks like they're making that corner. And matter of fact, a little quick update on your cash prices today. Soybeans $12.03, corn $5.45, wheat $6.71, Milo $5.15. Thanks again for listening to Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO. Have a great day and God bless.
You've got it locked on Western Oklahoma and the Eastern Texas Panhandle's home for today's best country. Number one rated, 96.5 KECO Elk City.
A heartbroken family speaks. I'm Lisa Brady, Fox News. Loved ones of Gabby Petito just holding a news conference as the search for her